Hello, and welcome to this half hour with Rowlett's Baptist Church. My name is Brother Dwayne Cook, and I'm pastor here at Rowlett's. And I'd like to invite you and your family to come join us every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. for our Sunday school program, every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. for our worship service, or every Wednesday evening for our weekly Bible study at 7 p.m. We also have CIA that we call Christians in Action. That's our youth group. We've got all levels of youth group, all the way up to college-age students that we are just enjoy so much listening to and working with, and want to invite you to come join us in any of those things that we have. We just be very glad to have any visitors come, and if not, I just want to encourage you to find a church where you can feel involved, where you can feel loved, and really just let those folks minister to you as you minister to them. And every Christian ought to have a good church home. Every Christian ought to have a congregation that they call friends and neighbors, and that they can weep with, they can have joy with, they can share life with, because it's an encouragement to us as Christians to have others around us. I'd like to take just a moment, if I could, and wish happy birthday today to Miss Barbara Winstead. Miss Barbara is a wonderful lady. If you don't know her, you're really missing out. Miss Barbara's celebrating a birthday today. Bradley Bogue will be celebrating a birthday on the 18th, Tuesday the 18th. Brother Bradley is having a birthday also on Wednesday the 19th. Caden Devine. Caden will be celebrating a birthday, and he's a fine little man, just a good fella, and we appreciate all so much those folks. Also, a couple anniversaries coming up next week here at Rowlett's. Jeremy and Chastity Luchek are celebrating their anniversary on Monday the 17th, and then Wednesday the 19th, Stephen and Michelle Richardson are celebrating anniversary, as well as Tim and Anne-Marie Isaacs, and I appreciate all these folks so much. Folks, we just have a good time in the Lord. We have a good time being friends with one another. We have a good time knowing that we have all been, though we may have come from different roads in life, that we have the one thing in common, and is that we're all been covered by the blood of the Lamb, that we all have our sins forgiven in Christ Jesus. Now, I want to talk to you, if I could, just for a few minutes this morning about the birth of the church. And I want to share several scriptures, mostly out of Acts, all of our Acts chapters 1 and 2. So if you're driving down the road, I'll be sure to share these scriptures with you. And if you're sitting at home, you can go to Acts chapter 1 and easily keep up with me. I'll just kind of go through this. There are volumes of books written on what makes a thriving church. Volumes. That it seems to be one of the things that pastors seem to desire the most. They want their church to be a thriving church. Now, whether that church is a large number of people or not has nothing to do with whether it's thriving. Oftentimes today, we seem to put a precedent on the number of people that attend in a congregation. But friend, I'm proud to report today that has absolutely nothing to do with whether or not that church is thriving. What makes a thriving church is the presence of the Holy Spirit. It's the presence of God working in those members, and those members doing all that they're capable of doing of spreading the kingdom of God. You see, that should be our first and our foremost declaration to the world, that we are here to spread the kingdom of God. You do that today by sharing your faith, by living in your testimony, by sharing with others what God has done for you. And I'll tell you, it has an effect on those around you, that God works through you to get to other people. And that's so wonderful today. And there are volumes of books written on what makes a thriving church. There are two illustrations I ran across recently about what a church is. This one says, "Too many clergymen have become keepers of an aquarium instead of fishers of men. And often they are just swiping each other's fish." What about that? And Henry Ward Beecher once wrote, "The church is not a gallery for the exhibition of eminent Christians, but a school for the education of imperfect ones." Friends, to find out how to be an effective church, it seems to me the best guide is how Christ started His church. And that's recorded in the first few chapters of the book of Acts. I think there's important lessons for us to learn, not only on how to be an effective church, not only how to be effective in our ministry and our congregation, but also on how to be an effective Christian. Now, there are three parts of the books of Acts. It breaks itself down. First of all, the Savior goes up, the Spirit comes down, and the saints go out. And in Acts chapter 1, we'll look at verses 4 and 5 to begin with. And while staying with them, the Bible says, this is speaking of Jesus, while staying with them, He charged them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which, He said, you heard from Me, for John baptized with water, but before many days you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now here, Jesus instructed His disciples that they must wait. Oftentimes in our lives, we want to get in a hurry. We want something to happen quickly. I remember as I came here to Rowlett's Baptist Church some 3-4 years ago that I wanted to see things happen quickly. But I knew, and I've been ministered to, and some good pastors that were older than me and more experienced in the ministry said, Dwayne, the best thing you can do when it comes to starting a church, this is the first church that I ever pastored, and they said, just be careful, just wait on see what God will do. You pray. You study, you do everything that you can on your part, and you take care of Dwayne and your relationship with Jesus, and watch and see what God can do with the church. Friends, sometimes change can happen in a way that nobody even notices or realizes, and that's when it's happening in God's timing. Too often, you and I are pushing, and we're wanting to see something happen in our own time. We think oftentimes people treat God as if God is a drive-thru, and that we pull up to the window and we say, God, I want this and I want that, and we expect to be able to pull around to another window and get exactly what we ordered. But listen, God is not on our timetable. God is on His timetable, and you and I sometimes are simply called to wait. To wait. Jesus instructed His disciples that they must wait. Perhaps they wanted to return to Galilee or to their families. Maybe they wanted to start telling others that Christ was risen. But Jesus said to wait. Too often, we want to get ahead of ourselves. We are so anxious to see results that we want to begin new programs and new projects. We want to get all these irons in the fires. We wish to run here and to go there. But God wants us to wait on Him. Christ wanted His disciples to wait for a specific reason. Notice in verse 5, He says, before many days, you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. He knew they needed strength. He knew they needed the strength of the Holy Spirit before they could begin the important work of the church. Folks, things have not changed for us. Things have not changed for us today. More than anything else, I believe it is essential that the church spends time waiting on God, being filled with His Spirit, receiving strength, and being prepared for its mission in our communities, in our nation, and in the world. Brother Ferris comments, he says, there are times when the hardest thing in the world is to do nothing. And yet there are times when that is the only thing to do. There are some things we can work for. There are other things we can only wait for. We have become experts in activity, church. We've become experts in activity and are only novices in passivity. Yet, in religion, there is a primary place for being passive. It is the mood in which the soul is receptive to power from outside, responsive to imitations from above. A man who waits upon God is like a man waiting for the sun, expectant, ready to obey His bidding. Let's move on. Let's look at verses 6 through 8, Acts chapter 1. So when they had come together, they asked Him, Lord, will You at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for You to know the times or seasons which the Father has fixed by His own authority. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be My witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. There was a reason why Christ wanted them to wait. They were going to be empowered to be witnesses for Him. Remember, these disciples had fled at the first sign of danger. They had forsaken Jesus when He was to be led to be crucified. They had been in hiding, afraid to show their faces. Peter had denied Christ 3 times. They'd been slow to believe the woman's story that Christ had risen. Thomas had even doubted the accounts of the other 10 disciples. Jesus was going to send them out to spread the good message of the great news of salvation. But they needed to be empowered first, and so do we. Christ wants us to go out, but He wants to fill us with Himself first. You notice that verse 8 says they would be witnesses first in Jerusalem, then in Judea, then Samaria, and finally the end of the earth. These are ever-widening circles of missions that outreach around Jerusalem. Considering the small geographic size of Israel, we might say today that Christ is sending us to witness first in Hart County, then in the South Central Kentucky, then in all of Kentucky, finally to our nation, and finally to the world. But before we can be effective witnesses for Him, we must receive the strength of God's Holy Spirit. We must. Without the Spirit of the Holy One, everything we do is in vain. It's all in vain because it's all under our own power. It's all being fueled by man. And man cannot fuel a work for very long. We'll get great things started. We'll get great ministry started. And it gets harder and it gets harder. And week after week we find ourselves being drugged down. We find ourselves in a place where we can't any longer have an impact. And we run out of energy because we're trying to operate under our own power and not under the power of God. We need to wait until God fills us up, and then He'll send us out. Then He'll take us into the ends of the world, and then we'll be effective witnesses in the world. But we cannot do it under our own power. It's not possible. As a matter of fact, without the Spirit of God living in our hearts, even going to church will become tedious. Even attending your regular worship services will seem like a chore. But, oh friend, when you begin to let God move you and you begin to experience the wonder of the risen Savior, you're chomping at the bit to go to the next worship service. You find yourself anticipating it with great joy and with great delight. And I'll tell you this much, you will get just as much as you want to get out of every service. Now, how can I say that? Because people that come expecting and wanting and desiring will have that expect and that want and that desire filled up to the overflowing. And those that come expecting nothing will receive nothing. You'll get what you desire. Look at Acts chapter 1, verse 14. All these, with one accord, devoted themselves to prayer, together with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with His brothers. In order to seek God, the early church began to pray. If we want to see God do things here in our church and in our city, we're going to have to spend time in prayer. We must gather together in communion with our God. Yes, we do pray on Sunday mornings together, and we pray in our Sunday school classes and our weekly Bible studies. These are all good and necessary, but let us also be praying throughout the week for our church, for our family, for our city, for our county, and for those who need to make a commitment to Christ. Prayer changes things. I do believe that much of what we've seen happen in our church in the past couple of years was the result of you praying faithfully for the church every day for so long. Even when I called others who had left the church years ago, many of them still said they were praying for Rallis Baptist Church. And I know that there are still many here who pray faithfully for each other, for our church, for the ministry, for our families, and for the other needs in our church body. Prayer makes a difference. Prayer changes things. The Interpreter's Bible points this out. For a great many people, religion is an occasional thing, something to enjoy on great festivals, something to rely on in time of danger. But real religion is more than an emergency measure. It is continual. It sets the pattern of man's daily thought and practice. Like regular meals, it silently stocks the storehouses of his spirit with power. Regularly stock the storehouses of your spirit with power through prayer. Through prayer. Then we move on to Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost had come, oh praise God, they were all together in one place. Pentecost, as many of you already know, was 50 days after Passover. It was a time of celebration. It commemorated the first harvest of the year, and it was a time that the Jews brought their first fruits as offerings. Now, how appropriate that God would use this harvest celebration as a time to begin the world harvest of souls as He began the work of the church. The reason for the 50-day period was that it was 50 days after the children of Israel left Egypt that God gave Moses the Ten Commandments and the law that established the covenant with the nation of Israel. And so it was on the day of Pentecost, 50 days after Christ had become the Passover Lamb, that God filled His people with His Spirit, establishing the new covenant of the church age. On this day, so long ago that the early church was all gathered together waiting on God, and we're all gathered together Sunday after Sunday looking forward, asking God to fill us so that we can begin the work that He wants us to do, so that He can call us into the fields that are white with the harvest. We can do it, friends. We can do it through the power of Christ, through the victory that He's given us. Christians are people who are drawn together by a common devotion. They were all with one accord in one place. They were a group of people who probably had nothing else in common save this one thing. They loved Jesus. They were all there, their differences overcome for the simple reason they adored Him. Christians have been drawn together for the same reason ever since. Even now, congregations are drawn together every Sunday in spite of their differences because men and women remember Jesus. There is something about the everlasting Christ that draws men together. Look at verses 2 through 4, Acts 2 through 4. And suddenly a sound came from heaven like the rush of a mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as of fire, distributed and resting on each one of them. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. They were all gathered together. They'd all been praying. They were waiting for God's promise. And suddenly, a great sound filled the whole house. They were in God's presence, and everyone was filled with the Holy Spirit. No one was left out. And we gather in God's presence and we ask that the Holy Spirit fill us. Do you realize that in the book of Acts, after this event is mentioned another 9 times that people were filled with the Spirit or that believers were filled anew? We can never get enough of God. He wants to fill us to overflowing. He wants us to continue to renew Himself in us. Ye must be born again. God says, I make all things new. When we are filled with the Holy Spirit, life's distractions fade into the background. God is in the center of our thoughts. All those pains and hurts and despair are replaced with love and joy and comfort. It is never God's will for us to leave a church service beaten down, discouraged, and suffering. He wants to fill us to overflowing so we can rejoice in our spirit. Acts 2:14 says, "But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them. Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words." What had happened to Peter? As the Believer's Bible Commentary notes, it says, "The disciple who had denied his Lord with oaths and curses now steps forward to address the throng. No longer the timid and vacillating follower, he has become lion-like and forceful. Pentecost has made the difference. Peter is now filled with the Spirit." Friend, God loves you as much as He did Peter and the other followers in that early church. These people were changed by their encounter with God. You and I can be too. Verses 41 through 42, Acts chapter 2 says, "So those who received His word were baptized, and they were added that day about 3,000 souls. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayers. Now here we see the results of the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. 3,000 people gave their heart to God. And not only that, but we can see their lives were also changed because they joined with the disciples. Verse 42 says they devoted themselves to the teaching of the apostles' doctrine. In other words, they started getting into studying the Bible and learning about Christ. They were involved in fellowship. They did not neglect their church attendance. They went to church. They were strengthened by each other. They broke bread together. They gathered around the communion table declaring their unity in Christ and with Christ. And they devoted themselves to prayer. When people are willing to spend time in prayer, you know there's been a change in their life. Great old Brother McDonald that went on to be with the Lord so long ago wrote that the proof of reality is in continuance. These converts prove the reality of their profession by continuing steadfastly. Now, you look at verse 13, Acts chapter 4, verse 13. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they perceived they were uneducated, common men. They wandered, and they recognized that they had been with Jesus. I want to close with this verse because it shows the difference that being filled with the Holy Spirit meant to these first Christians. Notice that the religious leaders recognized that these men were uneducated and that they were common men, but there was something different about them. They had a boldness to share their faith and they were not afraid to take a stand. The religious leaders recognized that they had seen this before. They recognized that these men had been with Jesus. They were men of no extraordinary powers, little education and no prestige, yet they were bold to speak, and as they spoke, it became clear that their power came from Jesus. When people see us, do they recognize that we've been with Jesus? Do they sense His love and His compassion in our lives? Do they sense a confidence and a boldness that defies our own abilities, our own talents, and our own education? When we are to allow God to fill us with His Spirit, then we discover a new joy in our lives. Just as the early church waited on God to be filled with His Spirit so that they could be the first Christians to witness the good news, then let us allow God to fill us with His Spirit so that we can be the best Christians, the best witnesses of the good news to those in our family and our community. God wants to fill us this morning, and He will if we will allow it. Will you close with me in a word of prayer? Father God, we come to You this morning, Lord, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. Oh God, what a difference it's made in our lives. God, what a difference it's made in our churches. Oh Father, how wonderful it is, this gift that You've given us. Lord, we thank You that the disciples were obedient that day. Lord, that they waited upon the coming of the Holy Spirit. And Father, I pray that You might give us the patience and the understanding to know that in our own power nothing will ever come of our deeds. But Father, through the strength that's given of the Holy Spirit, that we can accomplish great things in the name of Christ. Father, we thank You for the gift of Jesus, for the sacrifice that He made on a cross for our sins. We thank You that He is the Christ, the Son of the living God, the Messiah for the entire world. Thank You, dear God. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. God bless you, friend, from Rallocks Baptist Church.